Hello, this is Roger Schaus, and this is Jumpstart Rewind. This is a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. Jumpstart number 2173, first written August 31st, 2018. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and there were about 3,000 souls. Our verse today shows the origin of the church, the very first church. The church is saved people. It's not the building, it's not the real estate, the pews, but people who've been called out of sin by the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Peter preached, and 3,000 people responded. That's amazing. That's every preacher's dream. God is showing that people do listen to the gospel. Lives can change. People who grew up Jewish could become Christians. There were so many changes in store for those new Christians. For centuries, their families had observed the Sabbath. Now, the first day of the week, Sunday, would be the day of worship. For the first time, they would remember the death of Jesus through the Lord's Supper. No longer did they need animal sacrifices. No longer did they need to go to the temple. No longer was incense burned to God. So many changes. There are many things that the Holy Spirit doesn't share about those first Christians that our curiosity wants to know. Practical things, logistic things. For instance, where were they to assemble? 3,000 people is a massive crowd. How would everyone hear? No mics, no loudspeakers. How could the message be heard? How did they do the Lord's Supper? Who taught them what to do? Where were they to find all the items to use for such a crowd? With a church of new converts, how was it possible to get the congregation mature? People bring issues and baggage and problems. With that large of a crowd, who handled all that? Was it possible for the 12 apostles to do all this themselves? Did anyone fall through their cracks? Did anyone slide back into Judaism? How often did they meet during the week? Did they know each other? We look at this and imagine 3,000 at our Sunday worship. That would be amazing. But then we think, where would we park all the cars? Where are they all going to sit? Do we have enough cups for the Lord's Supper? How could the shepherds take care of that many people? So many questions. Somehow the Holy Spirit didn't seem to think that those details mattered. We are not told. From this, we can make assumptions, guesses, and speculations, but there's no foundation to support that other than trying to reason things from our perspective. Somehow it worked. The first church took off instantly. More and more were added to this number. It exploded in size. First, what all this tells us is that the New Testament is not a manual detailing every single move and action of the first church. Acts is not written like a detailed car manual. This piece fits on top of this piece. That's not the intention. What we have within the New Testament are the principles that allows a congregation to operate. We understand the purpose of worship and the elements necessary that God wants. We understand shepherding and how that works. Second, with that, each congregation will have to have its own way of fulfilling these principles. For instance, there isn't an edict from heaven declaring that our worship must begin at 10:30 on Sunday morning. We need to stop saying we meet at the scriptural time. That's a cute saying, but it's misleading. There is no scriptural time other than Sunday. What time on Sunday is left to each congregation? There isn't a flyer that outlines what every congregation is going to do that particular Sunday. Start with a song? Start with a prayer? Start with announcements? Start with a greeting to the audience? How many songs? How many prayers? Lord's Supper before the sermon or after the sermon? The offering immediately following the Lord's Supper or later in worship? Sing a song during the giving or sit in silence? End with a prayer or end with a song? I've seen all of these things. Each congregation was fulfilling the principles of the New Testament. They were doing things that worked best for that group. Third, because a congregation does things in a different order than what I'm used to, does not mean it's wrong. Each congregation has its own flavor, just like a family meal. In some homes, everyone passes the food and you wait until the food comes to you. In other families, you reach for the food in front of you and you might get stabbed with a fork if you're not careful. Everyone is fed. It's just doing things in a different fashion. Fourth, our worship is to honor God and encourage each other. When we get upset because things weren't done well or to our liking, the purpose of worship has been ruined for us. Some go home more discouraged than when they came. Some come in a good mood only to go home mad. Some allow little things to upset them, and that's just Satan's way of getting our mind off of God. Satan doesn't mind if you go to church services as long as you do not worship. He can fool us into believing that we've done a good thing when our minds, our attitudes, and our focus has been on anything and everything except God and His Word. I'd love to see a video of that very first church worship. I have in my mind how I think they may have sat, but I can't build a biblical case for that. Just my thinking. But what I must take away from that first church is the passion they had for the Lord and the love that they shared for each other and the commitment to the kingdom that they made. This is something we can follow, repeat, and establish among ourselves. How they sat, how they functioned is not the point. It's what they did, and now it's what I do. We gather on Sunday, like those early disciples, like believers all around the world. We honor God. We thank God. We preach His Word. We teach. We encourage. We pray. We draw our hearts close together to the One who has saved us, blessed us, and kept us safe. It matters little whether we're in the portion of the temple, in church buildings, in storefronts, or in living rooms. Wherever a congregation gathers, we ought to be there. We need to support, help, and defend our congregation. We need to be active, doing what we can as long as we can. We need to be the one who's dependable and that can be counted upon. Far too many are letting wonderful opportunities to honor God, learn His Word, grow, slip through their fingers because they do not participate in these things. Let the world control the faith is what they do. As a result, they are weak spiritually, and they make unwise decisions. Folks around the world would love to have the opportunities that they have. Heaven doesn't understand why these folks stay on the outside of opportunities. There are classes that teach the Bible, but some never come. There are wonderful times that the Word of God is preached, but some won't be there. There are times to share and teach others, but some never think to do that. They have lived their lives barely experiencing and barely knowing the Lord. It's enough for them, they think. They have kept one foot in the world and have surrounded themselves with the people of the world. And as a congregation grows, develops, and matures, these folks just drift along, missing one of the greatest advantages ever offered to anyone. Those are things I just do not understand. Work with your congregation. Be active. Be visible. Be the one that can be counted upon. Someday we'll get to meet those very first Christians. Won't that be a conversation? Thank you so much for listening.